Hare Krishna.
Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की श्री श्री ब्रह्म मध्व गौड़ गुरु शिष्य परम्परा की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 8. Dharmah Swanushtitah Pumsam Vishvaksena Kathasuyah नोत्पादयेद् यदि रतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम् धर्म स्वनुष्ठितः पुंसाम् विश्वक्सेन कथासुयः नोत्पादयेद् यदि रतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम् धर्म स्वनुष्ठितः पुंसाम् विश्वक्सेन कथासुयः नोत्पादयेद् यदि रतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम् धर्म स्वनुष्ठितः पुंसाम् विश्वक्सेन कथासुयः नोत्पादयेद् यदि रतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम्
उत्पादयेद् यदि रतिम्
माताजी Dharmaha, occupation, sonushtitaha, executed in terms of one's own position, pumsam, of humankind, vishvaksena, the personality of Godhead, plenary portion, Kathasu, in the message of Yaha, what is, Na, not, Utpadayet, does produce, Yadi, if, Ratim, attraction, Shramaha, useless labor, Eva, only, he, certainly, kevalam, entirely. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Purport. There are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen among the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above this gross materialist are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is a dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and the subtle mind. He is a potent, active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with the emolument of the body and mind. The body and mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's need must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of Supreme Lord, and any occupational activity which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead, it's said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or in the other. Even if he goes up to the Swargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Damsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bhashyatyade Shatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Vatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So very, very important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are discussing very strong verse. Just imagine we do a very important service work, Shrama and Parishrama, right? Shrama means effort. Parishrama means lot of effort. Parishrama also sometimes perspiration comes, so Parishrama is there. So after a lot of Shrama and Parishrama, and you are happy that the Shrama and Parishrama has been done, and then you meet your senior person, and then he says, does all Shrama eva hi kevalam? All waste of time. Time waste kiya tune. It will be very hard to digest that, right? You could say, Prabhuji, thoda prem se bolo na. You could say, Prabhuji, you can say, thik se nahi kiya. Thik se karo. Do it nicely, better, you know. But someone says, it is waste of time. So it's quite heavy, right? And we are just beginning Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam just begun. And Bhagavatam is showing what it's like to know Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatam, emulate Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is saying, dharma, whatever dharma you are doing, Vishvaksena katha, yad, notpad yad, yadi ratim. If no ratim, shrama eva hi kevalam. So very, very important verse, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. The entire verse, or at least the line, Shrama eva hi kevalam, many times he quoted this in his conversations, in his lectures. And we also many times have heard this shloka being quoted in the Bhagavatam class. In fact, these are a few shlokas where, which shlokas get easily bi-hearted, because just by hearing, at least the last part everyone knows, Shrama eva hi kevalam. That means heard too much, no? That's why Shrama eva hi kevalam. So let's discuss this beautiful verse, heavy verse, but very important verse. We will first speak a little brief about this section of Bhagavatam which we are dealing. As we know that we have begun Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is total 13 cantos, right? 12 cantos. 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they begin in a very systematic way. Srimad Bhagavatam is compared, or actually is the lotus body of Lord Shri Krishna. And just like we take darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath, we begin the darshan of Gopinath from the lotus feet. And then we progress slowly to his smiling lotus face and his forehead and his turban like that. Similarly, Bhagavatam begins with the first canto, second canto, and like that, 12 cantos. The first two cantos are compared, or rather, the first two cantos are like darshan of the lotus feet of Krishna. Darshan has two meanings. Darshan is darshan by eyes, and darshan also means philosophy. So these are two philosophical treatises, two cantos. Just like when we do deity worship, especially those who have done deity worship, so when we go to deities to worship them, first we touch their lotus feet sincerely, and then the rest of the body we dress. Right, we deal with the rest of the body. First we make a sincere effort in offering pranam to the lotus feet. Similarly, these first two cantos are very important cantos. Srila Prabhupada has many times told, these are the lotus feet of Krishna, we should study these cantos nicely. In fact, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that I was not sure how long I will live. I'm not sure how long I will live, whether I will be able to complete the whole Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada said to all his disciples that I have given everything in my purports in the first two cantos so that you just can read this first two cantos, everything is there for you to go back home, back to Godhead. So first two cantos is lotus feet. We have to be very careful, offer prayers, and Prabhupada has given bonus in that lotus feet. Made it so attractive, everything is there. By chance you come to temple and temple darshan is closing, right? And you just get a chance to see the lotus feet, that's also enough. So if you read first two cantos, Prabhupada is saying, with no purports definitely, it's enough for everyone to go back to Godhead just by reading those two cantos. So, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions in his Tattva Sandarbha that the Ashraya Tattva is mentioned in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Ashraya means taking shelter. We are all looking for Ashraya, ultimate shelter. We are looking for Ashraya in different places, different circumstances. But ultimate Ashraya is with Krishna. And that Ashraya Tattva is very wonderfully explained in the first two cantos. And it is said that especially the prominence of Ashraya Tattva is mentioned in the first two cantos in certain sections very, very elaborately. So specifically the first three chapters wherein there is a discussion of the questions and answers of Shaunakadi Rishi and Suta Goswami. In those as answers there is Ashraya Tattva. And there is Ashraya Tattva in the 4th chapter to 6th chapter where Narad Muni and Vyasadeva are discussing. Again Ashraya Tattva. Then there is in the 2nd canto Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam. Again Ashraya Tattva. So in all these places, even though prominently Bhagavatam is Ashraya Tattva also, but you can major way significantly see this Ashraya Tattva here. Some scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam who are non-devotees, they claim that actual Bhagavatam begins from 3rd canto, not from 1st or 2nd. And they say, what is 1st canto? 1st canto is some stories of Pandavas and Kunti and Bhishma, Parikshit Maharaj is born. Who spoke Bhagavatam? Sukadeva Goswami. But where is he starting? He is actually starting from 3rd canto. So 3rd canto is a Bhagavatam, starts from there. So they have their own reasons. They say 1st canto mein kuch nahi story hai, introduction jaisa kuch hai, preface, forward, like that, you know. And second canto also, in one sense, Sukadeva Goswami begins, but he is here and there, but finally in the end of third, second canto, then he says, Bhagavatam has 10 subject matters. And then he starts the third canto. So they count, many such scholars count third canto as the first, the place from where we can start Bhagavatam. But all our acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami, refute this. So actually Bhagavatam starts from the first canto, right? And they say, the scholars say that every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe one subject matter. So they have assigned, you know, like third canto is one topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto is another topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. So from 3rd to 12, there is 10 topics. But our acharyas mentioned, no, Srimad Bhagavatam contains, every canto contains all 10 topics. But some cantos contain prominently one topic. But there are other topics as well in the other cantos. So in one sense, therefore, if you analyze in that direction, the first canto and second canto, they contain sarga also, they contain visarga also, they contain poshana also, and they contain ashraya tattva. So we are reading right now the ashraya section of the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam in this first canto. So the 6 questions were asked by Shaunakadi Rishi in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the second chapter now, Suta Goswami is answering those 6 questions. Right? This is one of the answer of Suta Goswami which we are reading. So the 2 questions of the 6 questions, which question number 1 and question number 2, which Shaunakadi Rishi have asked Suta Goswami is, question number 1, what is the ultimate good for humanity? Question number 2, what is the essence of all scriptures? And both of these questions have combined and the answer is given in this chapter from verse number 6 to verse number 29. So we are referring to an answer of Suta Goswami to the first 2 questions of Shaunakadi Rishi. So what is the question? What is the ultimate goal of life for humanity? And what is the essence of all scriptures? And this is the essence. What is the essence? We have to follow dharma, right? But which dharma? That is also important. And whatever dharma we have following, what is the litmus test of that dharma? It should develop, it should help us develop attraction to Krishna. Whatever we do, it should help us develop attraction to Krishna. So we can see here that this verse specifically which we are reading today is a very strong shloka, very, very strong, yet very important shloka. In other words, it is saying that whatever you do in life, if you are not develop attachment to Krishna, it is completely useless. Whatever you do in life. So we can analyze what are we doing in our life. We can analyze for non-devotees, we can analyze for new devotees, we can analyze for, if we consider ourselves very old devotees, we can analyze in our life, whatever we are doing. And then, have we developed attraction to Krishna? No, then the formula is here, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Not just Shrama, Shrama is useless, right? Useless waste of time. Prabhupada calls Shrama eva hi kevalam as useless waste of time. That's Prabhupada's definition of Shrama eva hi kevalam. But you analyze Sanskrit, Shrama eva hi kevalam is a very emphatic statement. Shrama means useless labor. Shramadhan. Shramadhan means kuch kaam kiya. Or Shrama may also means useless, nothing, kuch nahi. Kif sirf kaam kiya. Kaam kiya, pagar nahi mila. Right? You work somewhere in a company and you don't get salary, then what happens? Shrama, right? Only worked. Achha kaam kiya, lekin taka nahi mila, paisa nahi mila. No money. Shrama. Bhagavatam says Shrama, useless labors, eva. Eva means only. He, definitely. And kevalam, entirely. So just analyze this whole statement. Shrama, useless labor which is only, definitely and entirely useless labor. So that's why you can see the adjectives are put here along with Shrama, which shows this is how strong a statement Sutta Goswami is referring with respect to whatever we are doing in our life. So this word dharma is very important, and Prabhupada has, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, that we understood the word dharma rightly from Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise we had our own conceptions of dharma, right? So many things. Like you ask someone, what is dharma? You know, so immediately, my Hindu dharma ka hu. I am Christian dharma. I am Muslim dharma. That's the prominent understanding of dharma. Right? So dharma is translated in English language in their vocabulary as religion. And religion means Hindu religion, Christian religion, Buddhism religion, Muslim religion, and Prabhupada says atheistic religion also. They have their own religion. We are atheists. So different types of religion. People are following different religion. But if you analyze, dharma, sometimes Sanskrit words cannot be exactly translated in English language. That is where there is a limitation to English. So simple or straightforward is religion. Dharma means religion. But dharma actually means something which cannot be separated from us. It's innate. If you analyze the religion word, whatever someone is following today as religion, he may change. He may get converted. Right? So, therefore, this word dharma cannot be used for Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Prabhupada says. It cannot be used. The word religion is actually faith. It is a faith. You are following Hindu faith, following Christian faith, following Muslim faith, Islam faith, Islamic faith. So many faiths are there. You may change faith. But dharma cannot be changed. So Prabhupada says very clearly, dharma means two things. Nature and duty. Nature and duty. Swabhav or kartavya. What is swabhav? What is our nature? Very important. Anyways, I want to tell you one important thing which I will not forget. I may forget, so I'll tell you now. That Prabhupada gave powerful classes on dharma two times. For 7 to 8 days. And that became the famous Bhagavad Dharma discourse. So 1970, Srila Prabhupada was in Cross Maidan, Pandal here. And Prabhupada gave this, 1970 Prabhupada gave this Bhagavad Dharma discourse in New Vrindavan. And 1972, he gave it in Cross Maidan, Pandal. So Bhagavad Dharma discourse. And based on that Bhagavad Dharma discourse, then devotees in the BBT, they compiled a book called as Dharma. It's a very beautiful book called Dharma, The Way of Transcendence. So I took some notes from that book. So Prabhupada beautifully mentions in that book, there are two main meanings of dharma. One is the nature, other is the duty. What is nature? How do you understand nature? Prabhupada gives the example. So many times you have heard the example of sugar. What is the nature of sugar? Sweet. You have sugar in hand, what do you expect? It's sweet, right? If you get sugar and it's not sweet, then you will be confused. It is not sugar. Sugar means sweetness. So dharma of sugar is sweetness. Dharma of water is liquidity. As soon as someone says, bring me water, you have your glass ready, right? You don't keep plate ready. You keep glass ready. Pour in the glass. Dharma of water is liquid. Dharma of sugar is sweetness. So what is the dharma? Dharma is something that is intrinsic. Can we remove, can we say, let's separate sugar and sweetness? Cannot. Cannot separate. Can you separate water and liquidity? Cannot separate. For some time you can keep in the fridge and make it solid. But as soon as the fridge is off, again back to water. So you cannot separate water and liquidity. You cannot separate sugar and sweetness. So the intrinsic nature of every living entity is called its dharma. And then this beautiful shloka is there. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. Krishna is saying, everyone is my amsha, my part and parcel. So what is our nature, our dharma? We are part and parcel of Krishna. That is our dharma. That's our nature. We are sparks of the eternal, universal, gigantic spark called as Krishna. So he is huge, unlimited, and we are limited spark. So as soon as you see some spark, like for example, sometimes it may happen in home or in temple, sometimes you see spark. So you know spark means there is fire also. Otherwise spark will not come, or fire will come. Spark cannot be alone. So as soon as we see spark, there is fire also. Similarly, part and parcel. We are part and we are spark. Immediately our connection has to be with the fire, that is Krishna. So, dharma, the nature of spirit soul is to be connected to Krishna. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we need to be connected to Krishna. So this is the first thing. Dharma means nature. Second, dharma means duty, kartavya. So there are so many duties, right? We have, sometimes we go to job, we say, my duty pe gaya tha. This is our duty, right? And sometimes we have duty, mera duty, mera kartavya hai, towards family, towards the society, towards the community, towards nation, towards the world. These are different duties we have, right? However, some people may also say that I don't care for any duty. I don't have any family. I don't have any connection with nation. Sab baad mein jaye. Go, all go to hell. I just want to do what I want to do. Some people are there who will not be attached to doing any duty. But such people also, they realize in due course of time, they need duty. It's a need. It's a part of life. Some people may be vagabond. Some people will be too much free in mind. But after some time, they will see this freeness has created a chaotic situation in life. And therefore, they want to do some duty. Duty actually means to serve. Right? So we want to serve someone. People say that I am the master of the family, but they are serving the family, Prabhupada says. People say I am the director of this company, but actually a servant of company, because you have to come and inspire everyone to work there. So you are bound to come. If you are free, you should not come. But you are bound to come means you are serving there. So we have to serve someone. So people who say that I don't want any duty, ultimately they realize that they need someone in life to execute duty, to serve. So Prabhupada said, if you do not have anyone in life, people will see, they take a dog or a cat and serve them. So they have to serve someone. So duty means to serve. So Prabhupada says beautifully, so our nature is your part and parcel of Krishna. What is our duty? Is to serve Krishna. Jivere swarupoye nitya Krishna das. We have to serve Krishna. That's our duty. Service to Krishna is our duty. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says in his beautiful book Dharma about this word Dharma as nature and duty and not the faith. Now we also heard an amazing statement from the scriptures. Like many times we come to Krishna consciousness, we attend the Bhagavad Gita course or Gita Sutra course now. It's called Gita Sutras nowadays. Many of us attend that course. It's a very beautiful course to begin with. I remember when I came first time to temple here, the first thing I did was attended the Gita course. And after 7 days I understood what is Bhagavad Gita in essence and understood one thing. Chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita. So in 7 days, a newcomer comes in, walks in, goes to the course, he understands the basic things. Some people who may not do the Gita course may take long time to understand what exactly the whole temple mein kya chal raha hai, pata nahi chalta. So therefore this Gita course is very important. I mean, I'm not marketing for the Gita course, but if you've not done it, please do it. It's very important. Literally every senior devotee who's in temple have done Gita course and come here. It's very easy and clear. Everything becomes very clear. Kuch chhutta nahi. And this Gita course is also called as DYS course in IYS, right? Gita Sutras and whatever, I don't know the latest names. What is the latest name currently? JOSD, all that. Journey of Self-Discovery. Wonderful. So, So in the Gita course, we heard this shloka. Dharmena heena pashubhi samana. Right? The only difference between an animal and a human being is that a human being can follow dharma. An animal cannot follow dharma. Otherwise, ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanya etat pashubhi naranam. Four activities are common to everyone, a human being and also an animal. Dharmena heena pashubhi samana. But when a human being only does his four and does not follow dharma, he is pashubhi. He is an animal. So Mahabharata says, if there is no dharma, a human being equal to animal. So someone may say, Hare Baba, I'll follow dharma. Okay, so now we are following dharma and we start reading Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam says, whatever dharma you are doing, it is useless. I think first it is saying you follow some dharma, otherwise you are animal. And now I am following dharma, and again, very, just imagine, someone says, agar ye ne kiya, tum kya hai? Ek pashu hai. It's like a very strong statement. So first of all, you should do this. If you are not doing, you are a pashu. And you start doing it, you are doing it. But if you are not doing properly, you are useless, waste of time. So, someone may think, Are Baba, karna kya hai? Dharma ka matlab kya hai? Right? Because we are doing very nicely and yet we are reading our Shastra, our Acharya's thing. If it does not develop into attraction to Krishna, it is waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Not just Shrama, eva, hi and kevalam. So such kind of confusion sometimes come in our life when we read Shastra. There is one such very wonderful confusion which is also in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Which Arjuna was confused. But Acharya mentions very beautifully. Krishna said in the fourth chapter, I guess, yeah, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna tells to Arjuna, why I come to this material world? Dharma samsthapana. To re-establish religious principles, re-establish dharma. Whenever dharma goes down, I come and re-establish dharma. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that I have come to establish dharma. So Arjuna said, very nice. And at the end of Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, sarva dharman parityaja. Someone will come to question, you know, fourth chapter Krishna says, I have come to establish dharma. Like for example, if I am giving a lecture now, and said, please hear my lecture attentively. At the end of lecture, I said, please forget my lecture, it was useless. You may say, are pehle bolna chahiye tha na. So we may have some confusion. Krishna is saying, I establish religion. I come every yuga to re-establish religion, dharma. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, just when grand finale Bhagavad Gita is ending, Krishna's last verse is, sarva dharman parityaja, sare dharmo ka tyag kijiye. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was mentioning one of his lectures that he was somewhere in USA. And he happened to go to one organization, not Hare Krishna, some other organization, and their children were reciting Bhagavad Gita shlokas. So one such shloka recitation he heard the children say, Sarva adharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Adharman parityaja? So he asked the organizer, what is this? Sarva dharman parityaja. So no, our guru, he said, there is a mistake in the printing in Bhagavad Gita. He said, how can Krishna say Sarva dharman parityaja, right? How can he say? He has come as the establisher of religion in the end, not even beginning also. Beginning bol diya, baad mein thoda change kiya, theek hai. Last verse mein, sare dharmo ka tyag kar do. So his guru interpreted that maybe down the line, so many years, 5000 years pehle bola hoga, to usme thoda a nikal gaya hoga, printing kahi to. So his guru added, are baba, it should be sarva adharman parityaja. So confusion is there even today, why sarva dharman parityaja? Right? So Acharya has mentioned, when Arjuna heard this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, he was having in his mind, oh Krishna, Gita is over now, what should I follow? Kshatriya Dharma or my Kula Dharma? Kshatriya Dharma means to fight, Kula Dharma means my family, how can I fight? So Krishna said, dono bhi mat follow karo. Surrender unto me, Krishna says. And Acharya mentions, our Acharya, that actually Krishna is telling him, by the way, Kshatriya Dharma karne ke baad mein kya karne wale ho? If you are doing Kshatriya Dharma, the end result of Kshatriya Dharma is what? To surrender to me. The end result of Kula Dharma is what? To surrender to me. So now I see this, both these dharmas you follow, you are not surrendering to me, so tu bagal mein rakh do. You surrender to me now. So Kshatriya Dharma is not wrong. Kula Dharma is not wrong. Is that Kshatriya Dharma and Kula Dharma taking us to our destination? That's important. The destination is important. The journey is important, but more important than journey is the destination. Like for example, if you go on yatra, people now are planning for yatras. Now, COVID is going on, please be careful of yatras. You may say that Bhagavatam Prabhuji boli yatra pe jao karke. So, yatras, people go to yatra. People go to yatra, then what they do? First, before they begin the journey, they plan everything. Station pe bus aana chahiye pick up karne ke liye hamari yatri usko. Hamare all yatra people, they should bus to pick up. There should be someone to welcome us. This is the bus. Bus wala ya whatever. Accommodation should be ready, right? And then after the whole thing is ready, then you take a journey. And you know, as soon as you come to Mathura station or Kolkata station, the bus is ready. And the accommodation is also ready. But if you take a journey, and you do not know, after getting down, where to go, where not to go. It's a confusing journey, right? Some people may think it's adventurous. People who take yatras like this, they are adventurous, but people who are following them, they are always confused. Why Prabhuji is doing like this? Kuch booking hi karte nahi Prabhuji. So, Bhagwan pe vishwas sakte. So, the point is, every organized yatra, every organized effort we have in life, wherever we go, there is a journey, there is a planning for the journey. So here it is mentioned that every dharma, whatever dharma we have in this world, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj mentioned there are two types of dharma. One is a nitya dharma, other is a naimittik dharma. Nitya dharma means our connection with Krishna. That is Bhagavad dharma. That is Sanatan dharma. That is Sankirtan dharma. That is Prema dharma, all different names. Naimittik dharma means there is Varnashram dharma, then there is other dharmas we are following. These are all connected to the body. Ultimately, all that dharma, or we can also mention, let's say Hindu dharma, let's take it, Hindu dharma or Christian dharma. Prabhupada said, you are a Christian. So if your dharma, is it leading to attraction to God? If it is not, then you have to take care. Why you are doing all these things? For whom you are doing all these things? Prabhupada sometimes would discuss with Christian bishops and priests, and he would mention that there is no problem of any dharma. You Hindu dharma, Christian. My question is, what you are doing in that dharma? That's Prabhupada's verse. Very, very amazing. He would not beat around. He would just go to the right topic, right? Then Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, Swamiji, what do you think of overpopulation? Prabhupada said, I am not worried of overpopulation. I am worried what that overpopulation is doing. If they are doing good things, it is good for everyone. If they are doing bad things, it is chaos, right? Similarly, Prabhupada did not much focus on this dharma, that dharma. Prabhupada said, is your dharma helping you to develop attraction to Krishna? If not, better reconcile what you are doing. So sometimes there may be confusion in our minds. What is this dharma all about? Because one time Krishna says, I am establishing religion dharma. And next time Krishna is saying, forget all dharma. So, in the Yaksha Prashna, when the Yaksha is asking so many questions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, right? So one of the questions is, he asks Yudhishthira Maharaj, sometimes during our dharmic course of our life, there is a confusion. We find two statements in scriptures which are answer to one question, but they are leading to different direction. Right? Different direction. And sometimes there is fasting. Fasting is every scripture says, but one scripture says fast till noon, other says fast till moonrise. So we confuse, are someone may think, kyun sochna hai? Moon ho nahi achcha hai na? Chota kar lenge. If you want shortcut, then you can definitely depend on the mind. But if you want authentic answer, then what happens? Now you do not know, Shastra is confused too. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. That means dharma tattva mentioned in scriptures, they are all guhayam. That means very secret, not easily understandable. Mahajana yena gatasapanta. So when you get confused with scriptures, then you take shelter of Mahajan. Right? And by taking shelter of Mahajan, then you understand exactly what to do at that time. So therefore, whenever we have confusion in our spiritual life, to do this or to do that, what we should do? Go to internet, Google search. No, what we should do? Refer to a senior devotee. And he will explain to us what we should do. That's what is called the role of Mahajan. So therefore we need help in understanding dharma. So, anyways, there are many explanations of dharma. Krishna tells to Uddhava about this dharma in the 11th canon. Dharmam mad bhakti kritim. Krishna says very easy. Dharma means my bhakti. And Prabhupada calls dharma means Sanatana dharma, eternal religion. So, anyways, there are many, many definitions of dharma. I was recently hearing a lecture of Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, where he was also giving a lecture on dharma series. Very beautifully mentioned this point. Actually, there are different varieties of dharma, right? There are different varieties of dharma. He was mentioning, apart from dharma which we see outside in the world, or in the world as faith, or our duty to family, nation, Prabhupada says in Parbhut, you know, that we have dharma to our family, dharma to our people who are beyond this gross body, then they have dharma to their mind, right? But ultimately we have to come to dharma of the soul. That is very important. We may do dharma to the body, dharma to the mind, that is important. Because if we don't execute duty to dharma to the body, then we will be unstable platform. If a dharma to the mind is not there, unstable platform, right? Let me explain a little more to get this and then go to the point of Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. Like example, dharma to the body means right now we all eat something, right? We need shelter in our life, our home. And home is not free, right? You have to buy a home. And after buying also it's not free. You have to maintain home, right? Electricity bill, water bill, and so many bills are there. New bills keep coming every year. And they keep increasing. So we have to do a job. So our dharma, kartavya, is to do a job, duty. Again, my duty pe gaya tha. So that duty we do, and that's important for us. We can't live without that. Sometimes some people are not happy with their duty. They are looking, where is my duty, you know? And someone has to help them. Ki aapka nature kya hai, swabhav kya hai? What your mind wants? And do that. You will be happy there, right? So people do duty, they are happy. Some people do duty, they are still not happy. Then people keep changing jobs, right? People keep changing so many jobs nowadays. Now it has become fashion. It has become a style. If someone keeps in a company for 10 years, they ask, kya ho gaya? Why you stayed in 10 years in one company? Now you have to keep jumping. That's a style. So it's not a reality, it's not a real thing, but it's like even a reflection is considered as satya, truth. Truth means today is fashionable to keep changing. But the basic idea is duty should be one duty which you are fixed and you're getting your pleasure, the material pleasure from that. Some people, they do not want to do any physical duty, like the normal things. So people see them as, maybe he is not very responsible person. But actually he may not be responsible, he may be responsible, but he is not getting the real thing in his life. He is waiting for the right thing to come. And then he will progress. The example is given, I read in one book, nice. There was a very famous poet in Calcutta. Very famous. He was coming from a very aristocratic family. He had 8 to 10 brothers and sisters. And everyone was doing good in studies, except him. He would get fail. In every exam, he would fail. And he would be considered as useless, do nothing. Because he didn't have some attraction for studies. He did not study at all. Right? So it is mentioned that in Bengal, they have the tradition of birthdays. When they have birthday, then they go and ask for ashirwad. In some places they say, ask ashirwad, then they keep a notebook and give the elders and they write a blessing to him. And they write, what you will become future, I will pray like this. Maybe some tradition like that. I don't know whether it's age-old tradition or the recent tradition, but it's a tradition. So he went around all his kaka, mama, chacha, everywhere. And everyone literally wrote, you're good for nothing, you will not do anything in the world. Because for so many years he was just failing. And somehow or other he came in touch with one of his good professors or some nice person in his family, in his school, wherever, which he explored that this person, he does not want to do regular things because his mind is too much into the understanding of literature and poetry and all. So he encouraged him, go ahead. So he went on to write poems. He became a very famous poet in Calcutta. So his mind was into poetry, therefore his physically he was not much into job or studies. So people predicted that he would be a failure, but he went on to become the most important person, legends in the history of Calcutta, in Bengal. Because his mind was now swabhav, they call it swabhav. People always are confused, mera swabhav kya hai? What is my nature? And many times we consider nature means our mind. What does our mind wants? I am not happy with this. My mind is not happy with this. I want, ye mere man ke jaisa hai, so I will do like this. People say regularly, right? It's like we want such things. But this is not the end of it. You go beyond that. Even if you get something which is your man ka, the problem is it is not your soul ka. It is not the intrinsic thing, the spirit soul. That is very important. Right? Like for example, someone may do something which is manka, as per his mind. But even there also he'll feel boring, right? And there also starts feeling, ye mera hi manka hi hai na ye? That's also confused. If you do something which is manka by your mind, finally I have got, you see in this world we always, finally I got my dream job, people say. Finally I have got my dream wife, dream husband, my dream home. And in 3 years the dreams are shattered, you know. And they have a new house. New job, like that. Now, tumhar man ka mila na, kya ho gaya? But because on mind platform, the satisfaction was not for the soul. So we have to raise to the more higher platform. Prabhupada says in the purport here, the highest platform is the soul platform. So we have to do dharma of the soul. So a dharma of the body is already done. Dharma of the mind is also done. Dharma of the soul is to connect with Krishna. So Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj is mentioning about this various kinds of religious dharmas, which is very prominently seen in, especially in India. He was mentioning this point that there is this Vedic dharma. Bharat mein ek Vedic dharma naam concept, very common. Vedic dharma. What is Vedic dharma? Vedic dharma means follow the Vedas, right? Vedic dharma means to follow the Vedas. Now, those who are followers of Vedic dharma, they are more into rituals, karma kand. Why? Because if you see Vedas, almost 95-96% of Vedas are into rituals, karma kand. Remaining 4% is jnana. 96% is karma kand, 4% is jnana. Where is bhakti? Bhakti is hidden inside the Vedas. Therefore it is said, Vedeshu adurlava. Vedeshu durlava adurlava atma bhakto. Krishna says, you may not find bhakti or me in Vedas. Durlabha. But adurlabha atma bhakto. For my devotees, I am easy to be found. So bhakti is there in the Vedas, but you'll have to search. It's like you take some farshan, and you search for kishmish in that, right? Very difficult to find kishmish. So to eat four kishmish, you have to eat full 100 grams or 200 grams of chuda. So in Vedas, you need expertise to get bhakti. But in general, Vedas means for karmakanda 96%, 4% jnanakanda. So therefore, Vedic dharma followers, those are followers of Vedic dharmas, they follow very properly, and ultimately their destination is to go to higher planets. They do karmakanda, so they promote to swargaloka. But what is the result of all that promotion? Again, Shrini Punya Marty Lokam Mission. Again, they come back to earth planet, they again do Vedic yagyas, they again go. So they think this is what the life is all about. Achha karo, phir upar jao, vacation, come back, and again vacation. So what we do is short vacations here, they are long vacations. So this is Vedic dharma. The second is Darshanik dharma. Darshanik dharma means people in Darshanik dharma followers, they follow Upanishad. They follow Upanishad. So Upanishad means those 4% of Jnanakanda. So they follow the 4% of Jnanakanda in the Vedas, and they reject all this karmakanda. They say this is all nonsense, this is all useless. Sama evahi kevalam. The only thing is jnana, knowledge. So they refer knowledge in scriptures, and ultimately the destination is Brahma Jyoti, to become one with Lord, one with the Supreme. But then what happens after that? Scriptures mention again, they are to Patanti Adha, they all come back because they don't find their nature there, Satchitananda. So they all come back to the earth planet. So again, this is Darshanik Dharma. The third dharma is Pauranik Dharma. Pauranik dharma means people, they refer Puranas. So Puranas contain many, many beautiful stories of Krishna, Lord Narayan, Bhakti is also there. But Purana is all mixed up, jumbled up, right? Many things are there, but it's mixed up. So very difficult to catch up Bhakti very easily. Your Bhakti suddenly next time is, someone is saying, if you want to go to heaven, then do this. Confused, Sabhita Bhakti. It's like someone serving you ice cream and also serving you Sabhi together in one plate. Not one bowl. What will happen? Kya khao? Should not confuse, right? So the Puranas, they are good stories, but without proper teachers, you will be confused. Because it's like, you know, you buy a ticket, someone tells you this is the best. You buy a church gate ticket. And you buy a church gate ticket, and you say, no, church gate ticket nahi. Either ye window pe jaake Borivali ticket kharido. You will be confused. Ticket pe ticket kharido, lekin ja nahi raha kahin. So people get confused because there is all khichdi there. But Pauranik dharma, people sometimes catch up and they come to bhakti. But that bhakti is what? Sakam bhakti, full of desires. They go to Krishna, they go to Vishnu, they go to Narayan, Krishna, and they worship Krishna to make their body dharma very nice. Give me a good job, Krishna. Give me a good job, Narayan. Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. My family should be good. So everything in this material world they ask, and they go to Narayan for that. That's called Sakam karma. And we ask, what about going to Vaikuntha? Oh, if it is available, I'll go. So they are not sure whether they should go or not go. Some of them may go to Vaikuntha, someone may stay here only, right? So that is called Pauranik Dharma. That's called Sakam Bhakti. The next one is Bhagavad Dharma. We slowly, slowly progress into Bhagavad Dharma. What is Bhagavad Dharma? So Bhagavad Dharma teaches Nishkam Bhakti. Bhagavatam begins by Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. Bhagavad Gita ends with Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Krishna says, Sare Dharma ko tyag do. But Bhagavatam starts with a little heavy statement. All dharmas are cheating religion. Right? That's very heavy. Someone says, they may be good, but don't go with them. That's one thing. Little more comfortable. They're all cheaters. Don't go with them. It's like a very heavy thing. Bhagavatam begins by cheating religion. Everything is cheating religion. Only religion is Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Dharma. So, generally all these dharmas, the Darshanik Dharma, the Pauranik Dharma, the Vedic Dharma, they deal with the Trivarga, right? Dharma, Artha and Kama. And Moksha also. But Bhagavad Dharma goes beyond Moksha. Goes to Krishna Consciousness, Bhakti. In fact, Bhagavad Dharma condemns Moksha, which is the very lucrative principle in the other dharmas. In fact, Bhagavad Dharma says, moksha is like hellish. Going to hell is same as moksha. That's how warning, straight warning is given in Bhagavad Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma says, paro dharma, that is beyond, pancham purushartha. So, Bhagavad Dharma means based on Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So we are dealing with Bhagavatam now, right? So this Bhagavatam is there for how long now? At least 5,000 years. So many people have read Bhagavat and followed Bhagavad Dharma. However, still Krishna felt there should something higher be given. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela, where it is mentioned the external appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, after giving Srimad Bhagavatam, after giving the instruction Sarvadharman Parityaja, he went back to Golok Vrindavan and there he was contemplating. I have given everything, but still I see people are attached to rituals. People are still attached to so many things. They are not understanding the highest charam bindu, that is Golokera Premadhan. The highest is to develop love for God. Wo chodke Bhagavat they are using for all other things in their religious life. So he understood that I gave them references to do, I gave them things to do, but they haven't picked up very nicely. So what to do? I have to come and teach them now. So I'll come and teach them what to do from Bhagavatam. It's like a very compassionate teacher, right? A teacher gives you the book. Teacher tells you in the class also, so now go home and study. And you are not studying. The teacher will come to your home and teach you. That's called home tuition, right? Pay more and get to teacher in home because we are so dull. Teacher should come home and teach us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to do that job. So he developed from Bhagavad Dharma the Sankirtan Dharma, which is also called as Prema Dharma. Right? And then he taught something highest. He said, the destination is not even spiritual world. Destination is Krishna Prema. So, amazing thing is, in all other dharmas, including Bhagavad Dharma, which was practiced so far, everyone is asking Krishna for something that Krishna will give us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sankirtan Dharma and Prema Dharma, he is saying, I don't want anything from you, Krishna. I want to give you, Krishna. Mujhe aapko kuch de raha hai. That is the principle which has been established by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so beautifully enunciated by Srila Prabhupada. We are here to give Krishna. And Krishna says, I don't want your service. No problem. Ashlisha va padaratam pinastumam adarshana maramhatam karotu. Whether you want it or don't want me, still I will give you. So that is the highest. Of course, that's a very high stage. But the point is, making us realize the highest thing is to serve Krishna. And therefore, this is called as Sankirtan Dharma. And the essence of the whole Bhagavatam is this Sankirtan Dharma. So the whole Bhagavatam, 12 cantos is there. But till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, this Bhagavat also was a mystery. And Srila Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and pulled down the essence of Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam essence? Premam Pumartho Mahan. Love for Krishna is highest. So what we are saying in this verse is exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us. Ki whatever we are doing, whether we are studying scriptures, we are taking care of body, mind, soul, anything. Whatever we are doing, prema pumartho man. Are we going towards Krishna prema? Is that the destination? If not, better check. Just like when you are going from Mumbai to Pune from here, we keep changing the milestones, right? We say Lonavala 15 kilometers. That means you are on the same track, right? We are going. Suddenly you take a left run, somewhere you go to, instead of going to Lonavala, we may go to Nashik, right? There is a chance to go to Nashik. And then instead of Lonavala, 10 kilometers, what is that ghat? Igatpuri. Igatpuri comes. Igatpuri kaise aa gaya yahan par? Some problem, right? Suppose to go to Pune, Igatpuri has come. Then you take a U-turn and go on the right road, right? So we need to always check in whatever practices we have in Krishna consciousness, at home, in temple, wherever we stay. Whatever we do, service, seva. In fact, very nice example. One example which our Bhakti Ashra Vaishnav Maharaj was mentioning when he gave a class here. But aap log deity worship karte honge. You are doing deity worship. You are doing puja, aarti. You are doing preaching. But if all that you do and you don't develop attraction to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, sit down and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that means there is some problem in your practice, whatever you are doing. Think about it. So even Krishna conscious practice should lead to Vishwaksena Katha Suya Yadi Ratim. As we read the whole Bhagavatam now, this remaining verses which comes in this chapter, it is all leading to hearing only. Srinvatam, Swakata, Krishna, Nityam, Bhagavat, Seva, it all come now. So ultimately, when it comes to Bhagavad Dharma, the essence of Bhagavad Dharma means Shravanam and Kirtanam. But Kirtanam ke pehle, Shravanam. Because unless we hear what we will speak, right? In biology, this body, we have 2 ears and 1 tongue. इसका मतलब 2:1 का रेशियो है. वी हियर 2 times एंड वी स्पीक 1 time. बट वी आर उल्टा रेशियो. वी हियर लेस एंड स्पीक मोर. वी वॉन्ट स्पीक मोर, राइट? एंड इवन ENT ऑल्सो दे मेंशन, इफ समवन्स हियर इज नॉट गुड, दे कांट हियर, देन ही कांट स्पीक ऑल्सो. बिकॉज वी गेट ऑल नॉलेज फ्रॉम हियरिंग, राइट? समटाइम्स यू सी पीपल हु हैव वेरी प्रॉब्लम इन हियरिंग, दे कांट स्पीक ऑल्सो प्रॉपरली बिकॉज दे कांट हियर, दे कांट स्पीक. So this whole formula is a Bhagavad formula. And unless we hear, we can't speak. And unless whatever we do in our life, we don't get taste for hearing, then we have to recheck what we are doing, why we are doing. So dharmasa tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajana yena gathasya pantha. So in our life we require regular assistance of whom? Sarvajan. Mahajan. We require assistance of Mahajan. So we have confusion, we have to go to Mahajan. So in our life we have so many Mahajans. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, they connected us to the whole Gaudiya Madhva Guruship Parampara. So in ISKCON we have so many Mahajans. We have ISKCON Srila Prabhupada disciples, ISKCON gurus, senior devotees, Siksha gurus, Diksha gurus, so many gurus, all gurus we have, so many senior devotees who brought us to Krishna consciousness, right? Right? So they are all available for us. We have our predecessor Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvesh Thakur, then Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and today is the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is one such Bhagavatam, Bhagavat. Book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. What is the pranam mantra of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj? How it begins? Gaur avir bhav bhumestvam nirdeshta sajjana priya vaishnava sarva bhomo shri jagannathaya te namaha. Vaishnava sarva bhoma. Bhakti Thakur says he is not just Vaishnava, he is not great Vaishnava, he is sarva bhoma. He is the commanding in chief of all Vaishnavas. Sarva bhoma. So Bhakti Thakur says at that time, in the whole era of Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan and Mayapur, the best of all Vaishnavas, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Today is his disappearance. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he lived for 140 years. Very big life, 140 years. Complete Krishna conscious life. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj initially stayed in Vrindavan at Suryakund. Today also, if you go to Suryakund, you will find the Bhajan Kutir of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, next to the temple of, next to the Kund, Surya Kund. So he stayed there, and then during the time, he used to spend 6 months in Vrindavan and 6 months in Navadvip. Can you imagine every year going 6 months here, 6 months there? It's very easy now to go. That time to travel all the way, walking from Vrindavan to Navadvip. But every year 6 months in Vrindavan, 6 months in Navadvip. Then finally he thought at the end, kind of, when he became little old, he said, I'll stay in Navadvip. And what he said, you know, Vrindavan is for very high people. I am not very high. I'll stay in Navadvip. Navadvip, very merciful. Jagannath Das Babaji, Sarva Bhoma, Commander in Chief, he is saying Vrindavan is for very high people. For me, Navadvip. Just imagine what is the caliber of someone wanting to go to Vrindavan. Some people, I want to go to Vrindavan, stay there eternally or throughout their life. So we need to know where we are going. We are not just changing home, right? We are not changing from Vrindavan Colony in Mumbai, Mumbai Township to Vrindavan Township. We are not shifting from Mumbai. Sometimes it may happen. Sometimes we buy a house. ये घर अच्छा है क्यों? इसका नाम वृंदावन है. ठीक है, building देखो ठीक से, लेकिन building में अच्छा होना चाहिए, leakage नहीं होना चाहिए, whatever it price अच्छा होना चाहिए. So it's easy to shift. Like we may call our home as Vrindavan, we may call. But to go to Vrindavan, we have to always consult devotees. Very important. Because Vrindavan is highest. Right? And it's not easy. We may desire, हम वृंदावन में रहेंगे तो वहीं पर बॉडी छूटेगा तो सब भगवद्धाम चले जाएंगे. ऐसा नहीं होता है. There are so many examples, so many devotees went to Vrindavan but could not get chance to leave their body in Vrindavan. It's not easy. Vrindavan is very tough. Jagannath Dasa Baji showed example that Navadvip is very nice. Navadvip mein roh. And he said, Jagannath Baji said, chant Hare Krishna. You were chanting Hare Krishna, chant seriously Panchatattva Mantra. He said, you know why? Because Hare Krishna, so much offenses we do. Panchatattva Mantra, no offenses. Keep chanting. Very sincerely chant Panchatattva Mantra and then chant Hare Krishna. Panchatattva will protect you. So this is the mood which our acharyas teach us. So Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, in the end of his life, he stayed in which place? Navadvip Dham. There is Jagannath Babaji Maharaj Samadhi Mandir also, if you know. It is in Koladvip, Navadvip town. Many times in Yatra we go that place. And Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, it is said that, of all things he did, of great glorious contribution, the most important is in his pranam mantra. First thing, Gaur Avir Bhav Bhumestvam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace had disappeared. No one knew. And someone had claimed that on this side of Ganga is the birthplace. And everyone has to visit that place. And they said, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Can you imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace got disappear? That's one thing. Second thing is relocated. Someone else showed that this is the place. It may be a problem. Like for example, one time I just went to Hyderabad and I had to go to one temple center there. So they told me, Prabhuji, aap Google Maps se aa jana. So I went and searched. I found two places in the same area with same name. I was wondering which place should I go, this or that place. So luckily for me, as I was traveling in the vehicle, this actual place came first and the board was the ISKCON. I said, wow. Then I got down. I said, ISKCON Nagar, and met the devotee also. Which is the other place? Other place? I also do not know. He does not know. He is president of that temple. But there is just few streets across which Radha Gopinath ki jai. And there is another location on the Google map with the same name. Then you realize that there is no temple of ISKCON there. So you are surprised. Aisa kaisa ho sakta, one more temple is there in the same street. So someone relocated. ठीक है वहाँ नहीं है तो यहाँ चालू कर देंगे, donation मिलेगा कुछ तो मिलेगा. And everyone is going that place. It's a big challenge for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is not the place. How can this be a place? There is no vibration coming from that place. And suddenly he sees across Jalangi River. Oh, that's the place from where I can see beautiful vibrations, beautiful light coming. He goes and checks that place. He feels the vibration. Lot of Tulsi Maharani is growing in that whole area. Checks the books, old maps and all, finds this is a place. But now need confirmation. Who is the confirmation? The best of the whole devotee, everyone salutes, is Jagannath Dasa Baji Maharaj. He is 120 years old that time. Two of his disciples pick him on the basket. There was a basket that time. He sit in the basket and they would pick him on a basket. Brought him across Ganga to this place. Put the basket down. He was like, his whole body was crippled, like a bow. Down. You can see the photo there. Yeah. Body was crippled there. And he could not even open his eyelids. He would do everyday Giriraj worship his own Shilas. But the servants would worship the Shila and then he would just offer Tulsi. For offering Tulsi also, they would pick up his hand. One of them would pick up his hand with Tulsi. Another would open his eyelids so that he could see and then he could put. But he would constantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So finally when his basket was kept down, this Vaishnava, who was 120 years old, hardly could even open his eyelids, couldn't raise his hands. He jumped high in the air. much higher than many of the IY students here. And he chanted loudly, you know what? Eto amar, eto nirmay janmabhumi. This is the actual place. He had not even seen, but he could feel the vibrations stamped. So thanks to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that now we know what Yogpeeth is, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. Without him, we could not get so much. There are many contributions here. And one contribution which I am saying is, we know Mayapur now because of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Right? Second contribution. Today we are referring what? Today is disappearance of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Today is disappearance of Rasikananda Murari. So Vaishnava calendar kahan se aaya? Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj saw Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Young boy that time. Very expert in astronomy. So he called Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's son Bhaktisiddhanta and said, you are good in astronomy. Why don't we make a Vaishnava Panjika? Panjika means calendar. So inspired Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to make Vaishnava Panjika. And based on calculation, he made the whole year calendar. And he took all the consultation from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And this way we have the Vaishnava calendar today. It's all the gift of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So this is the disappearance of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, a very elevated Vaishnava saint. He was the guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was always guiding Bhaktivinoda Thakur in many things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur went on to preach in the English language, writing so many books, all inspired by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And then his inspiration was the ray of Vishnu Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is one of the very intimate disciples who actually exhibited his heart mission, who created revolution in the whole world by creating his Kanish Srila Prabhupada. So there is so much of connection in the whole parampara. So therefore very important to discuss about this acharya. Otherwise what will happen? This will be only names, right? Just like in our family, Mir Dadaji, if you ask what's your father's name, you may know father's name. What is Dadaji's name? Don't know Dadaji's name. Dadaji ka naam bhul gaya. Unke upar Dadaji, wo toh maloom hi nahi hai. Dekha hi nahi kabhi. So we don't want our acharyas to be just names, you know. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Who is he? Pata nahi. Right? So we need to discuss also about them. So we need to discuss also for 2-3 minutes more. I am not going to keep you wait more. On Rasikananda Acharya also. Very beautiful pastime. I hope everyone is okay with that. So Rasikananda Prabhu was a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit. Now Shyamananda Pandit was a very important general in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan army. If you all know, the six Goswamis, the last Goswami was Jiva Goswami. And then he trained the next generation, the three great Vaishnavas, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, Srinivas Acharya. Trained them in Vrindavan and said, now go to your hometown, Bengal, Orissa, East Bengal, West Bengal and Odisha and preach. Right? So Srinivas Acharya was in West Bengal, East Bengal was Narottam Das Thakur and Odisha was Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit came to Odisha. Odisha was full of all confused things that time. All kinds of pujas, that time Nawab rule was there. He began his preaching. And one of his very foremost disciples is Rasikananda Prabhu. So Rasikananda Prabhu was born in Rohini. There is one place, Rohini, it's on the border of Odisha and Bengal, on the banks of river Suvarnarekha. And in Rohini he was born to a very rich and aristocratic king. But from birth he was very pious. In fact, his father was very pious, they were worshippers of Krishna. She also was worshipper of Krishna. Of course, he is a very elevated person. But the Leela goes like this, that at a young age he got married and then he was thinking, what is the purpose of life? I need some vision, I need some understanding of what's there. He would be always contemplating Brahma Jigyasa. And one day in the night time, Krishna spoke in his vision, tomorrow you will meet your guru and he will teach you everything. And next day he meets Shyamananda Pandit, right? Very difficult to find guru like that, you know. We never have came across a dream, kal guru milne wale hai, right? Very difficult to, their dreams never come, right? One time I was traveling in Africa, and after a Bhagavatam class, someone asked me a question. Prabhuji, yesterday I got dream of Prabhupada. I was wondering, my God, you asked me a question. You sit in Bhagavatam and you give Bhagavatam because you got dream of Prabhupada. But anyways, I wanted to know what is the dream of Prabhupada, right? I said, very nice, very nice. I never got dream of Prabhupada. You are so fortunate you got dream of Prabhupada. Said, okay, what did, most important, what did Prabhupada say in the dream? That's most important, right? Prabhupada comes and smiles in a dream. That's okay. But some instruction is given, it's more better. Prabhupada says, don't chant Hare Krishna. That's not Prabhupada. So what should I do, Prabhuji? Prabhupada said, don't chant Hare Krishna. Don't take tension. I said, you take tension. That is not Prabhupada. Someone, Mayadevi came in the form of Prabhupada and telling you, don't chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes you don't get dreams, that is good. But sometimes you get such kinds of dreams, better be aware of, better be not having dreams than to have such dreams. But elevated devotees, they get dreams. And that dream actually matches Shastra. Every dream, if you get dream, good dreams, very nice. But dream should match Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. If dream is the fourth one, you know, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru and dream. Dream should be sweet dream, but after that dream is over, forget the dream. So, he got a dream that he will meet his Guru. Next day, he met Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit told him that you need to get training. So, Shyamananda Pandit, that deity of Radha Govinda, worship this deity. So, in Gopi Vallapur, Rasikananda, Prabhu worship this deity of Radha Govinda. Such wonderful worship, what Guru told, he just executed that. It is mentioned that Radha Govinda was already beautiful, but by worship of Rasikananda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govindji became more beautiful. That is possible. Sometimes Pujari, by his devotion, can inspire Krishna to become more beautiful. It's possible. Not everyone can see, right? Sopa sometimes would see the deities are so beautiful. So beautiful. And the Pujari may think, the other Pujari was the time passing, we did something, did not put turban properly, and beads should be here, you put it here and here, Nichadagdiya beads. All those. But Prabhupada says, Krishna is beautiful today. And one time Prabhupada said, are you not giving enough time for Krishna to rest in the night time? Krishna looks tired. Krishna looks tired. I can't see Krishna is tired, but Prabhupada could see that. So, sometimes if you worship Krishna very beautifully, Krishna exhibits more beauty. That scene. Right? You see the deities of Radha Gopinath, old photos. They were beautiful, no doubt. But now they look more beautiful. Why? Because we are doing good bhakti. So what we should do? Do more better bhakti. Gopinath will become more beautiful, exhibit his beauty more, attract more. So, Rasikananda Prabhu worshipped those deities for many years. And that was the best deity worship. After some time, then Shyamananda Pandit said, now you preach. For next 40 years of his life, he preached. And what was his preaching? Amazing preaching. In his preaching, he was very bold. It is mentioned, he preached to pious people, made kings into devotees, he made Muslims into devotees, he made outcast into devotees, he made agnostic into devotees, he made robbers into devotees, he made atheists into devotees, even wild animals into devotees. So one time he was traveling and suddenly mad elephants came running at him. So he was near the river bank, he said, just picked up the water and said, chant Hare Krishna, and threw on the water on the elephants. And all elephants, they put their two first legs, front leg up, and they chanted, Hare Krishna. Elephant. There was one Muslim king, Ahmad Beg, who was very envious of the growing popularity of Rasikananda. So he was thinking that this fellow has to be killed. So he decided that when Rasikananda comes to his village, he will send a mad elephant on him. So the mad elephant was sent, all the villagers ran away, and Rasikananda too was coming, and the mad elephant was running towards him. And Rasikananda too saw the mad elephant coming, as soon as he stop. Elephant stopped. Chant Hare Krishna. Elephant chant Hare Krishna. And elephants, he fully lowered his body, offered Dhandavat Pranam. And Rasikananda went to his ears and chanted Diksha Mantra and said, today onwards your name is Gopal Das. Initiated an elephant, mad elephant. And a Gopal Das became famous elephant all over Odisha. This Ahmad Beg was thinking, my God, I have never seen. He came and offered obeisance and became a devotee. So these are certain amazing things which Rasikananda did. Then he was preaching all over every places. Then he came to this place called as Remuna. You know Remuna? Kilchur Gopinath. He came to Remuna and that time the deities of Kilchur Gopinath were not in Remuna. What had happened just few years back, because of the Mughal rule, people, they had heard that, you know, Mughals will come and they will destroy the deity. So some of the pujaris, they had taken the DT and hid them in the pod and ran away. After that, everything became normal, right? But no one knew where the DT is. Pujari had gone out of range. So no one knew where the DT is, where the pujari is. So no one knew. Rasikanand Prabhu came to Ramana, and by his vision he came to know that Gopinath is in the pond. He sent his disciples inside the pond, removed the DTs. So we got Gopinath DT because of Lord Ramachandra. He cowed that DT. It came to Ramana because of one Vaishnava king, and it became famous as Kirishwar Gopinath because of Madhavendra Puri. But one more important person is Rasikanand Prabhu, because if he would have not rediscovered, we would have not got Gopinath ji in Ramana here. So he established a deity worship temple. So whatever temple is now, it is all the disciples and the generations after Rasikanand Prabhu. So Rasikanand Prabhu, today, on the disappearance of Rasikanand Prabhu, he was doing kirtan with 5 of his disciples. Sankirtan on the courtyard of a temple. And in the big sankirtan which he was doing with 5 devotees, disciples of his, suddenly entered into a temple, into the altar, and disappeared into the deity of Radha, Kirishwar Gopinath. And what remained behind is the garland he was wearing. It was leaving behind. So, the 5 devotees, those who are very dear to him, right? Dear disciples, they saw Guru Maharaj disappeared. They could not keep their lives. They also disappeared the same day. They fell down dead. How can we live without him? So today, if you go to Ramana in the same compound of the temple, there is Samadhi Mandir of the flower of Rasikanand Prabhu. And next to him are the 5 small peats, samadhis of the disciples who left just thinking of separation from the Guru. So every year on the disappearance of Rasikanand Prabhu today, there is a 12-day festival happening in Ramana to commemorate the beautiful disappearance and activities of Rasikanand Prabhu. So these are the beautiful, lot of things to speak. Bhakti Vyas Maharaj has written a book on Rasika Anand, this whole book, Rasik Murari. Anyways, so there are many more things to speak, but the whole point is we are talking about Bhagavad Dharma, and we are culminating our talk and discussion now on the Bhagavatas, the Mahabhagavatas who has taught us Yadi Ratim Vishwaksena Kathasuya. Their whole life was activities which gave them taste for Krishna consciousness, and they imbued that taste in others. So these are some things which I wanted to share today. Thank you for your patient listening. We went quite over time today. Sorry for that. And let's end here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Rasikananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.